Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the donkey. Jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La, la,
you know, Jasper, I could just envision you as a little tyke on Christmas Eve, sitting at your mama's knee, your daddy's knee, singing this song.
54 years later, I'm still singing that song on Christmas Eve, Miss Kimberly. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Merry Christmas. I tell you, it's been quite a year, Jasper.
It has. Come on. We've been together now for almost 6 years.
Almost 6 years.
This is something else. Celebrating, of course, Christmas Eve here with our sponsor, Hen House Markets. It doesn't get any better, Miss Kimberly.
It doesn't. And, you know, reflecting back on such an incredible year of guests, I mean, what highlights? I mean, everyone is a highlight, but what was one of your favorites?
I would say either Jacques Pepin or any of the hundreds of guests who brought us food every week.
There you go.
Jacques didn't bring us any food.
You know, I love every single local chef who comes in here because they've got a unique story.
They do.
And their passion just comes through in their food and their product.
And during the holidays, I mean, even we said this back at Thanksgiving, I'm grateful for the friendships that we have made and to celebrate with such wonderful people in this town because, you know what, there's no better town than Kansas City.
There isn't,
and
Jasper.
That's what it is. And we love it because it's all about local, especially with David Ball and his family who keep this show going. And, you know, we love them a lot. And all the guys here at the Hen House Market, there's something else.
What a great partnership to have with Hen House.
But more than anything, Kimberly, for all you do for this show, and people don't realize the production and all the work on the computer and booking the guests and everything while Jay just shows up, you know, nonchalantly and just walks in. Hey, I'm here. No script, nothing, you know. One take, Jay.
You know, I couldn't imagine working with anyone but you, Jay.
Thank you very much, Miss Kimberly. And, of course, Mark Andrews and everybody back at KCMO.
And Mark has added such an incredible level of fun to the show with the music. He loves music.
Oh, no kidding.
So
he loves Dominic the Donkey, I think.
He does.
Well, what a delicious show we have on Christmas Eve.
Well, speaking of local, we have Vincent Rodriguez, who, of course, owns Maps Coffee in Lenexa. We're also going to be talking to the author of Mexican Today Cookbook, who also has a show on PBS, Alan Galen of Bread and Butter Concepts. Boy, has he been busy this year.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're going to go out to Bend, Oregon, and talk to a family who's making soap with their goat's milk and something else that you really like, Jasper.
This is really unique. Well, you know what, Kimberly? With this cup of coffee from Maps, I make a toast to you and all of our friends on Christmas Eve. Salute and buona Natale. Let's get on with the show. Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Since 1923, Hen House Market is your local market right here in Kansas City. And I'm telling you, my friends, it's Christmas Eve and the stores are open right now. Make sure you check out all the specials. It's not too late for your holiday party and those last minute dishes that you need. Of course, Hen House Market is known for their beautiful produce, but don't forget all the wonderful poultry, those local steaks and chops, pork, etc. Oh my, it doesn't get any better. It's Hen House Market for the holidays. You need to check it out because, hey, if you need a Tippins pie, if you need something at the last minute for that table, it's Hen House Market. From Hen House Market to your family, we wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Ah, Kimberly, it's Saturday morning.
You know what goes best with Saturday mornings, Jay?
Coffee.
Coffee, that's right.
How about this? Now, we're spoiled. We really are. You think about it. We have food brought into us when we're down and, you know, kind of tired. We have some of the best roasters in town.
Absolutely.
Deliver us coffee. And you discovered someone who I've been a little obsessed with, not only his coffee, but maybe we're going to let the secret out of the box about something else he's doing today.
Secret out of the box. There you go.
Is that the right way of saying that or not?
That's perfect, Jay. I won't edit you now. But, you know, in talking with Vincent Rodriguez here, he's one of the most interesting, can I say eccentric maybe?
Yeah,
eclectic?
I'll take that. Yeah.
Eclectic?
I wear that well.
Do you?
Yeah,
okay. And you own Maps. Maps Coffee.
Coffee roasters, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're adding another word to that, right?
We haven't just said that yet. That's the secret out of the box. I know, Kim.
But Vincent, you own a coffee roastery inside of a bicycle shop in Old Town Lenexa, not far down from our friend Craig Adcock.
That's correct.
So you probably go down
and
have a few tipples with him. You're a hobby custom bicycle frame builder. You're a coffee roaster. You're an aspiring chocolatier. And you're a racer. And
I
you
am.
just got done with the Kanza.
The Dirty Kanza.
The Dirty
Kanza. The Dirty Kanza.
Yep. Wow.
Vincent, in case you didn't know, your coffee partners include Boulevard Brewing for the collaboration of the beer Early Riser, Chateau Milk for home delivery retail coffee. So you're on the truck, the Sundry Market, Aaron Prater, and Meshuggah Bagels for hot and cold brew offerings. You're all over town.
I'm trying to be.
Seriously.
Wow. Yep.
Okay, Kimberly, we're talking bicycles. We had a great conversation about building the frames and all.
Yeah.
The background in coffee, 18 years with Starbucks.
Yes. Yes. Had a great career with Starbucks. They
That's incredible.
Yep. Yeah.
As a barista, just kicking
barista,
them off
store manager, district manager, operations guy, trainer, everything. So I did
Where'd
a
you
lot
start?
In Seattle.
In Seattle. So yeah. You were wow. at the epicenter.
Absolutely. Yeah. 1994.
In the market?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Very
That's
cool.
Huge. So now you come to Kansas City. You have this bicycle shop.
Yep.
But you still have the passion for coffee.
Absolutely.
Different styles of coffee. What makes, I mean, if we're going to talk coffee, I mean, people are having their little home machines. They're roasting their own beans. What sure. sets you apart, do you think, from the other guys?
So not only my passion for coffee, but I wanted to show off and make the connection between green coffee and roasted coffee. Mm. So having been an operator and managing Starbucks in many, many locations for many years, I wanted to share the story of coffee from the green bean to roasted coffee. So when you come to my shop, you'll see the roaster. It's a Loring Smart Roaster. It's a beautiful roaster. It was the first of its kind here in Kansas City. But I'm sharing with people, here's the relationship of how it gets from literally the tree to a roasted product. And so you can see me roast coffee. You can see us brew coffee and experience what's different. So making that connection between the thing that we love so much to, you know, actually how does it actually get into your bag, into your cup?
Right.
I heard you earlier talking to our producer and engineer, Mark Andrews. Give a little history about the coffee and way back when it was first discovered, the beans.
Sure. Yeah. So a sheep herder named Caldy noticed that his sheep were quite active after eating this cherry. And he decided to try some, and caffeine is very bitter. And so he didn't like that. So at the end of the night, he threw it into the fire, and then sure enough, it cracked like popcorn. And what cracked was the actual seed of that cherry, which we call the coffee beans. And so from there, he created a way to brew the coffee, and that's how it became kawa, or what we know as coffee.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's the abridged. I love that.
Yep.
Short and sweet. I love that. You're a maker. What inspires you to make things? I mean, what joy do you get out of that?
I'm going to interrupt. Artisan. He really is. He's an artisan maker.
He is an artisan maker.
Look at him,
maker.
Man. This is not only with the frames, but with the coffee. You can see
yeah.
his passion.
Yeah.
This is a great interview right now.
I love learning. And so the way that we learn is really important because, you know, I feel that each of us have the same amount of time in the day, but it's how we choose to spend that time. So I choose to learn something. So I have this crazy goal of learning something new every year. This year is chocolate, and I call it the year. So this right here that you're looking at, I know you can't see me out there, but I'm growing a year-long beard and no haircut. So I usually don't look like this, but that's my goal. Last year, I took a break. The year before that, I learned how to roast coffee. The year before that, I learned how to make a bike. I know how to bake and bake bread. I ran 500 miles 1 year. So I do something pretty epic every year. So the goal is by the end of my lifetime, I will be a wizard. That's the goal.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. So so this year it was drums, but I have to also drum. So I have to move that over to the next year. So, but crocheting and woodworking and electrical work and some other more formal metal work will be a part of that as well.
You know, there's a Renaissance man. You're far, far beyond a Renaissance man.
Yep.
So talk to us about the chocolate.
Sure. So the roaster that I have is called the Loring Smart Roaster, and it's a programmable roaster that allows you to hold a specific temperature for a longer period of time. So roasting cacao and roasting coffee are completely different. Cacao requires a slow and low roast profile, and this machine can do it very, very well. So it also has a bigger mass, so we have to watch it so as the rate of rise continues that it doesn't over-roast, if you will. But in the first 3 weeks of this year, that's when I started roasting cacao, I figured out how to make chocolate. And a lot of it was just doing research and asking for help. I made my first 9 batches in a mortar and pestle, which was difficult, but I got it done. And it wasn't great, but it was my time to experiment and spend time with coffee. With cacao, rather. So cacao is it's a big bean, if you will. It's fermented. And when you roast it, it has a really thick shell on it, or the husk or the hull, and it has to be winnowed. So the most difficult part, and one of the difficult parts of making cacao, is you have to winnow the cacao and separate the husk from the hull, then create the bean into the nibs, and then the nibs go then into the melanger or the concher, which turns it into a paste. By that point in time, you're putting in all the other ingredients to get chocolate. So it's about a 4-hour process to get about 2 pounds of chocolate. But my goal is I'm spending this year experimenting and getting the recipe right so that by next year we'll have a ready-made product to go.
Chocolat. I love it.
We're talking with Vincent Rodriguez, MAPS Coffee Roasters. Kimberly, Let's just go back here for a second. And I know we're limited on time, and this interview is so great right now. But this is bean to bar is what he's doing with chocolate. I'm fascinated with the coffee, the bicycle shop, mm-hmm. his running, everything else. But when he starts talking about the chocolate, there is, I could count on my hand the number of people who do bean to bar. We have a couple of them in Missouri, in Springfield, and one in Columbia, Patrick.
Right.
But in Askenosie in Springfield. But this is amazing what he just explained to us.
It is. And the fact that you just, you want perfection. I mean,
what
you really.
What a passion.
Yeah.
Well, certainly with me learning, I get to, and one of the things that people ask me, like, why am I doing so much? Really, the goal is to share my love and passion of all the things that I do. So, again, you know, I have chocolate making classes where we come in and, like, let's make chocolate. Let me show you how to do this.
No
so
really, way.
So show people what it really means to make chocolate.
When do you do these classes?
I announce them every month or so, but really,
on your Facebook
an
open page?
My friends are listening right now, my slow food group. Yep. We'd love to come do something with you.
Absolutely.
Well, Kimberly, I hate to wrap this up.
I know. We could talk to you for hours, as long as you're feeding us coffee.
Sure.
And next time, chocolate.
Yep.
So people can come in. They can buy coffee.
Absolutely. Retail packaged coffee in both whole bean coffee, ground, and my cold brew.
Your cold brew, which we're going to sample off the air. And they can go online to mapscoffee.com. And, of course, you are in Old Town Lenexa, 13440 Santa Fe Drive Trail.
That's great.
Well, my friend, I'm impressed. As always, we welcome you back anytime to our show.
Awesome.
And I'm going to get in touch with you about this chocolate because I got something on my mind right now, Miss Kimberly.
Something's brewing.
It's MAPS. Whoa.
Something's
like
brewing.
It, Kimberly, very good.
Slow clap, right?
Thank you so much for coming on.
This is Jasper Morabili.
And Kimberly Stern.
We're live from Jasper's Kitchen celebrating 10 years right here on KCMO.
103.7 FM, AM 710, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
I saw three ships come sailing by
on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day.
Kimberly, can you tell me anybody, or can you tell me someone, who still pits their own cherries for their own pie?
Well, Jasper, I think we found the person who does.
Oh, wait a second. I'm going to take a... continue with this.
I will.
Please, because I'm eating.
We are so lucky to have Mary Berg, who, of course, is the chef owner of Delish Catering. Delish is one of the top caterers in town. She is creative. She is funny. She is philanthropic. And she's always got her finger on the pulse of what's new and hot.
Mary, welcome to the show. I like that. I wish everybody was in the studio with us right now.
She's a stand-up comedian in addition to being... And you're an instructor at Johnson County Community College Culinary Program.
I am. I'm very, very fortunate to be there.
I would have loved to have you as a teacher when I was in culinary school.
I think she would have wrapped your knuckles.
You never walked around with a ruler and those kind of things and, you know, and hit me and...
It's pretty laid back, but I don't know that every student I have would agree with that. But I love them. They're awesome.
Well,
it's a great team out there,
Anybody who comes in this studio with a pie like this right here, hand-pitted cherries, a crust... like this. I'd listen to you if I was your student.
I did not pit those cherries. That's a Nick Groves project.
Okay,
right there.
Yeah.
So
I micromanaged it just a little bit per my usual. But
You didn't bring Nick with you today.
I know. He doesn't know that I'm here, and I'll probably get in trouble.
You will.
He loves you guys.
Kimberly, are you going to talk or are you going to eat the pie?
Well, I'm just picking apart this pie because I'm fascinated with the crust, with the filling. This is gorgeous. Look at this.
It's holidays. Mm-hmm. You brought in a cherry pie. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking to you, Kim.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking to Mary.
Oh, okay.
Pumpkin pie. Are we doing pumpkin pie too?
We do pumpkin pie, but it's the pumpkin wagon's gotten a little too big for me with pumpkin everything.
Pumpkin chapstick.
It's pretty intense that I like to switch it up a little bit. And the cherries obviously are frozen, but we did, you know, process them ourselves. And they're from the farmer's market and love that.
It makes a difference.
Let's talk about parties and events because, Mary, you are at some of the biggest events around town, okay? You, of course, are the exclusive caterer for Big Slick every summer, which is so cool. I think this will be your seventh year?
It will be, seventh year. Yeah, it's quite a family. It's one heck of an experience and just great, great money is raised for Children's Mercy, which is near and dear.
You did the KC Collaborative Holiday Pop-Up at Helix Architecture earlier this week, the April Madden Runway event that benefits Children's Mercy. You were with Tyler Florence when he launched Vitacraft just a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
So what, because you've got to be creative. I mean, you can't just pull out your little black dress every time you go to an event, right?
No, but the white chef coat works.
Okay.
No, I'm just teasing. I'm teasing.
But what trends are going strong?
There's a lot. And just a quick quick clarify, it's all about the team. You're only as good as the people surrounding you.
We've got a great team.
And absolutely. And they are family. And that team extends to also to a really great event producer locally, Chadwick Brooks, who is a huge creative force and one of my best friends. He and I are very fortunate to be able to collaborate on a lot of these wonderful events. And that does kind of lead into our next project together that I'm super excited about. And we are launching lifestyle classes that will encompass everything from cooking, obviously, and then going into decor, going into entertaining, arts, music, just everything. We have so many great things here in Kansas City, and it's showing how to collaborate those, because it's not entertaining anymore isn't just about great food and great service.
Right.
That's a give. Even if you're producing your own event and it's only for two people, it's about every little detail. And people ask me, they ask Chadwick all the time, well, how do you do that?
Oh, I love
it. So let's show them.
So you're going to be starting these in January at the commissary, the Delish Commissary in Olathe.
Yes, in Olathe. But, you know, Have Knife will travel. So we also will do mobile events that we can go and do a pop-up event in someone's home. Or if it's a corporate entity, we, you know, happily can travel and do a setup there. But it's fun because, you know, think of the things you have in your house right now, whether it's your grandmother's china or a bunch of really cool small plates and they just don't get used. That, well, let's develop a menu concept. Let's look at what's it going to take to get those used so that you're able to enjoy things. You know, everything's so hectic and scheduled and fast.
People are doing, you know, quick something, you know, oh my gosh, I have a party coming up this weekend. Some quick advice maybe to some people. You know, you need an appetizer. You know, I mean, I do, you know, as my go-to, just a little espresso cup with a little soup in it or something like that. It's always quick and easy, but
maybe
people want a little bit more, something they don't have time.
No, and I think that's really valid. And a lot of things that you can have that are just at the ready is when I create a buffet, you always want some type of, and I call it an anchor. You want a display piece. So having even just basic fruits, whether it's grapes and whatever, you know, berries might look okay, or apples or anything like that, with your favorite cheese to pair that and make a beautiful display. And then have some baguette. That's different than just pulling out a Ritz cracker. Not that there's anything wrong with a Ritz, but do something a little bit different. Yeah. You know, stretch it a little bit. There's great products that there's a time and a place for ready made. We do everything in our production from scratch, but at home, there's nothing wrong with buying phyllo cups that are already prepared. You could fill those with brie, with apricot, and then bake them. Or you could fill them with artichoke, with chicken. You know, anything.
And you know, one thing that you did a buffet I was at with deviled eggs that were like, I'm a deviled egg fiend, and these were incredible deviled eggs. Deviled eggs are another thing.
And they're super, I agree, super fun. That's a Chef Sloan. That's Andy's thing. And he has one going out this week that I looked at him and I said, wow, this is amazing. But it is sweet potato.
Wow.
Has sweet potato with pancetta. Uh-huh. And walnut, a deviled egg, and I went, and then I tasted it, and
it worked.
Fantastic. It works better than, it's a completely different flavor profile.
What's hot right now with catering? What's like hot on the scene right now?
From scratch, a larger amount of clientele are asking for that, so I think that's great. It's all about customizing and personalizing it for that person, though. I think we really are getting away, and at least it's something that I and my team really like to do, is personalize it. You know, if there is a family favorite, okay, let's do that, but we can twist it a little bit.
Like a chili bar. I mean, think about it.
Love it.
You know, just not putting a bowl of chili out there, a pot of chili, you know, the accompaniments and everything like that. And there's so many different ways. I am old school, so I still go back. Sometimes I'm criticized, but I like going back to old dishes and putting on the new flair like you did with panna cotta when I first met you 5 years ago.
I love that.
That was a big difference. I always think about that, too.
Yeah, and it... To me, I grew up with just strong women just surrounding me that also were excellent cooks, and men as well. I mean, my grandfather was an excellent cook. My cousin has owned a restaurant and is a culinarian. So amazing stuff that taking those that have that history and building different layers into it.
Yeah.
Just adding a little twist.
Using your noodle, right? Using your noodle.
Oh, there you go.
So it's late in the game, but if somebody needs a little something-something for the next week or so, they
give
can
us a call.
You.
Yes.
And that's 913-829-0133. You can go online, delishcatering.net.
Yes. And our new class line is Cook at delishcatering.net.
And people can buy holiday gifts. Just call and talk to Tara or Stacy.
Oh, great gift certificate. Sure.
Yeah, we would love that. And we are including bundles that when people come in for the classes, if we're doing an hors d'oeuvre class and showing the presentation, they leave with a platter.
Wow.
So that we have all different types that are
rolled
into that.
Absolutely delish. I like that. Yeah. Well, my friend, thank you for bringing in the pie.
You're welcome.
You know how they get to me. Come on. And that crust. Oh, Kimberly, you still have a few bites left there, lady.
Look at those. Oh,
I got a whole nother half a pie over here. This is Jasper Morabile.
And Kimberly Stern.
Celebrating 10 years right here on Live from Jasper's Kitchen on KCMO.
Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.
Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Since 1923, Hen House Market is your local market right here in Kansas City. And I'm telling you, my friends, it's Christmas Eve and the stores are open right now. Make sure you check out all the specials. It's not too late for your holiday party and those last minute dishes that you need. Of course, Hen House Market is known for their beautiful produce, but don't forget all the wonderful poultry, those local steaks and chops, pork, etc. Oh my, it doesn't get any better. It's Hen House Market for the holidays. You need to check it out because, hey, if you need a Tippins pie, if you need something at the last minute for that table, it's Hen House Market. From Hen House Market to your family, we wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Miss Kimberly, there's a restaurant group here in town that's really, really hot, but it's a very simple name.
It is, Bread and Butter.
I like it.
It's Bread and Butter Concepts, and we are so lucky to have the brain behind it, Alan Galen, with us in the studio again. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, welcome to our show. We're honored to have you in here with us. And, of course, just opening up the Oliver on the Plaza, and now you're opening up Stock Hill. So, you have some great restaurants behind you already, but this is getting pretty big.
Well, you know, we're still a small restaurant company when you really boil it down, but... Stock Hill will be our 8th restaurant in Kansas City, and we're kind of growing, but we're really excited about the Oliver, and we're really excited about Stock Hill as well.
I love the Oliver. I love what you did with the location itself, the interior, and the menu. And I said it before, I ordered the pork nuggets by mistake.
Yeah,
and they may be one of my favorite appetizers now.
Yeah, really, the whole idea behind the Oliver was to do something kind of an upscale American tavern, you know, that people would really feel warm and comfortable in there, kind of library-ish feeling, and you know, just a place they'd be like in their living room or their own dining room, and you know, recognizable American tavern food, but kind of doing it our way.
You've got a fabulous, the Hatfield's chop steak,
yeah,
which of course is local beef.
Timmy Hatfield.
You've got a shrimp Louis salad that is to die for, and a chicken fried chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some influences from where I grew up in the South, in Texas, chop steak was kind of a weekly thing, you know, that's what you had. And, then New Orleans with the shrimp Louis. And so a little bit of that came from the South where I grew up.
I like that now, Kimberly. It makes a little more sense to me now. Of course, the Oliver American Tavern. I didn't place that beforehand.
Are you connecting the dots?
I'm connecting the dots. You know, I'm a little behind. You
I'm
know
proud
me.
Of you, Jasper. And of course, you do brunch Saturday and Sunday. Kansas City is such a brunch town.
Yeah, it really is. It takes a little while to get the brunch momentum going. But once people find out, everybody's pretty busy at Saturday and Sunday brunch. You know, at Urban Table, it's craziness there, and Graham and Dunn too. So we waited a little bit before we put it in, but it's picking up some momentum. We got some good, really good egg dishes and some different breakfast items on there for brunch. It's going well.
Well, before we talk about Stock Hill, I am so excited that you opened out south in my neighborhood, BRGR.
Yeah.
And Jasper's neighborhood too.
Absolutely.
So we can get there any time of the day or night for the turkey burger. I had the turkey burger last time.
That's one of my favorites too.
Yeah,
we finally decided to venture out to the 135th neighborhood. You know, a lot of people, they come to our location at Corinth in 83rd and Mission, have been wanting, we live out 119th, or we live 135th, and when are you going to open something out there? And you know, we finally found a good location in a building that made sense for us, and we did it really fast. We found it, and you know, it was kind of a fairly easy conversion. So it's going really well. Yeah, we're glad to be out in the neighborhood.
Come on, those cheeseburgers are something else. And I like very, very simple, but I'll tell you what, those fries, the onion rings. Oh. Come on,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. We, you know, we sweet just potato. Keep working to make sure on the burger side that we're really serving the best beef we can find. In fact, we just did a new contract with a new Midwest provider, and we just are starting to get these new burgers in, but some of the best beef we've ever been able to do, partially because beef prices are really down now, so we're able to mix up a little more expensive product there. So
it makes a difference. Well, from an ordinary burger, there's no ordinary burger, to prime steak. We're talking Stock Hill in the old Board of Trade building. It's not the old building anymore.
Not anymore. No, we're, you know, one thing I really, you know, when I've been in Kansas City now about 8 or 10 years, but, you know, I always hear about barbecue. You know, when I grew up in Texas, it was like, you know, you got to go to Kansas City because they have the best steaks.
Steak.
And, you know, steak. And, you know, as I got here and got in the business, I realized there wasn't that many local Kansas City steakhouses here. And, you know, so my whole thing was, you know, I want a restaurant where people are going to go, this is the steakhouse to go if you want to go to a local Kansas City steakhouse.
So you've got 14,000 square feet there. Well, tell us what you're doing with that immense amount of real estate.
Yeah, it's a really big space, 330 seats. We have 25-foot ceilings in the entry area, which houses a bar that seats about 100 people. So it's kind of a bar lounge plus bar plus some bar, you know, food seating. And then we have a balcony dining room that looks over the bar with about 100 seats there. And then kind of another dining room that goes back into the, you know, normal type height dining room, where you can have a visit, you know, you see the kitchen, you can see the meat, you can see all the kinds of different things back there. So, you know, it's a dynamic space, and what the guys that bought the Board of Trade building did a really great job on the building. So we were able to take a couple different levels and work it out. But yeah, we're really excited. It's really cool.
Well, I will tell you, you're not playing any games when it comes to the kitchen. And you went all out and you brought in one of Kansas City's top chefs.
Yeah. You know, I was really fortunate. You know, when Joe West moved back to Kansas City, he was working on his own deal and trying to come up, you know, do his own restaurant. And he was actually moonlighting down at the Graham and Dunn Prep Kitchen. He was working down there doing some prep and doing some stuff with a couple of our chefs. And, you know, he's making a little money while he tried to come up with his own deal. And when he did get it together, and then it blew up. You know, I'd only met him one time, and I said, you know, I'm going to call this young man and have a conversation because I hear he's awesome. And so we did, and we kind of hit it off. And
well, and Alan, that's part of your golden touch, too. I think you recognize talent. For instance, you brought Kelly Conwell, who is, in my estimation, one of the superstar pastry chefs in Kansas City.
Yeah, we've been really fortunate. You know, when you recognize, you know, when you recognize these people, you know, when you get the opportunity to bring them on your team, you know, you do it. And yeah. I tell you what, the amount of the things that I've seen them do in the R&D side so far, I mean, I'm not easily impressed, but they are blowing me away. And Joe and Kelly, too. Just phenomenal stuff. And a lot of talent. And they're bringing some talent with them, too. So that makes all the difference as well. So, you know, we're really excited about the food side.
And real quick, let's talk about the special relationship you have now. Because, of course, you're bringing in some of the top beef in the Midwest. And you're working with local ranchers and purveyors here to really put out a spread that's going to be unlike any other in Kansas City.
We are. We made a lot of contacts in that world, and then we went to a supplier. Their home base is Atlanta. It's called Halpern's Fine Meats, and they actually have the closer relationships even with the farms in the Midwest. So they're actually the guys who cut it for us, but everything comes from the five-state region of the Midwest, and we know who exactly where it's coming from and who's raising it and how they're doing it and all those things. And so everything, all the beef on our menu will come from the Midwest except for one product. We're gonna throw on a Texas Wagyu product.
Ooh,
from
seriously?
From a Texas Wagyu farm that's putting out some unbelievable stuff down
there.
You're
not playing games.
Yeah, it's one steak we're going to use from out of the Midwest. Other than that, you come to Stock Hill and you're going to be eating some of the best beef from the Midwest.
Well, my friend, thanks for coming on today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Check out the website. It is again?
It's breadandbutterconcepts.com. We'll take you to all our restaurants' websites.
This is Jasper Morabile
and Kimberly Stern
celebrating 10 years right here on KCMO.
Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710. Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Since 1923, Hen House Market is your local market right here in Kansas City. And I'm telling you, my friends, it's Christmas Eve and the stores are open right now. Make sure you check out all the specials. It's not too late for your holiday party and those last-minute dishes that you need. Of course, Hen House Market is known for their beautiful produce, but don't forget all the wonderful poultry, those local steaks and chops, pork, etc. Oh my, it doesn't get any better. It's Hen House Market for the holidays. You need to check it out because, hey, if you need a Tippins pie, if you need something at the last minute for that table, it's Hen House Market. From Hen House Market to your family, we wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Kimberly, I share pictures with just a few people.
Uh-huh.
And once in a while, I'll send you in the morning, like my dilemma. And I'll say, look here, 40 different lip balms. Which one do I use today?
You do. You have quite a collection of lip balms.
Well, I think I have maybe a new one to add to my collection.
I am holding, from Bend, Oregon, from the Bend Soap Company, Sweet Orange Burst Lip Butter.
How about this?
And you've been applying it to your lips liberally since we started taping this morning.
Well, a few weeks ago, I sent you a note, and I found that this company... that's really unique, and I love goat's milk.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm really trying to figure out goat's milk mozzarella. That's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Really, seriously. But Ben's Soap Company, and they milk the goats on this small farm. This lady, I asked you to get on the show, and you got her on.
We got her on, and we have Marilee on with us this morning. She and her husband have 8 children. Dwight and Marilee Johnson have 8 children. Did I just say children's?
Children's. That's not, I don't correct.
8 children.
I don't correct you.
Ages 1 to 11, and they launched this soap company 5 years ago. They have 10 goats on their farm that they milk, and a whole line of really fabulous products. Good morning, Marilee.
Good morning, Kimberly. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on the show today. And you sent us a nice little gift here, and we're sharing. We're splitting up everything right now. I told you I went for the lip balm. Goat's milk on a farm, Bend, Oregon. How did it all start, and why goat's milk?
Well, you know, it's a great question. A lot of people wonder, why would you ever use goat milk in skincare? And we have been milking the goats for years and drinking the milk as a family. But when our son Chance, our third-born son, had eczema, that is when we realized that the goat milk could be used in skincare and really help the skin. So it was kind of, you know, they say necessity is the mother of invention. But it was just one of those things that just came out of what we were already doing. And the goat milk in soap actually helps break down certain barriers in the skin cells, so it allows the dead skin to exfoliate off of the skin. That really helps the nourishing oils get in the skin, and it feeds the skin. So it's actually kind of like a food for the skin.
So this was a hobby. You and Dwight decided to turn it into a business, and you've got a very strong online business now at bendsoap.com. You market a full line of goat milk soaps and lotions, including that lip balm. So what age-appropriate chores do the kids help? I assume the one-year-old... doesn't really do much but sit in a swing. But what do the other kids do?
Right. Well, you know, as a family and being able to do the business together, we all kind of participate in every little aspect of the business. But the boys, we have 7 boys out of the 8 children. We have 1 little girl. So the 7 boys actually really love the goat milking part. They have taken over the title of chief goat milker from my husband, and they claim that responsibility themselves. So they're up milking the goats, and my 5-year-old just started milking this year. He has his very own goat. Her name is Goldie, and that's what he does.
Aww.
And then they all love to help out in the soap house, too, you know, pulling orders or mostly talking with customers. That's their favorite thing to do. My little girl will greet people when they come over for tours and So, yeah, there's a little bit of everything to do, and they do it well. And it's really fun to see their personality and their work ethic. They develop that just because they work alongside of us. So it's great.
You name the goats?
We do. We name all of them. We have, believe it or not, a lot of food names like Sugar and Goldie and Buttercream. I don't know why we do that, but...
What are some of the other names?
Millie and Coraline. There are two Saanen goats. We have Chewie, who is named because she sounds like Chewbacca. She just makes this crazy noise. So we've got Buddy and Boots. He has four little black socks on his feet, so he's named Boots, yeah. So, yeah, they're all part of it. They're the big part of the whole production here. We never would have thought goats would have turned into a business like this. People really love it, and you know, at bensoap.com we sell all sorts of products, from the goat milk soap to the lotion, and the milk bath is just fabulous. You know, they say Cleopatra used to once soak in the milk in goat milk for her skin, and her skin was revered among the men, of course. But anyway, so it's great for everyone to be able to experience that themselves at home.
Can I ask you, goat's milk itself, it's very good for you, nutritious wise.
It is. It's high in vitamin A and delicate enzymes and vitamins and minerals, all sorts of nutrients for the body. And people that can't tolerate cow milk can often tolerate goat milk.
Exactly.
Because the fat molecules are smaller. They're more easily digestible. It's naturally homogenized. Yeah, there is a lot of nutritional benefit to goat milk in and of itself.
So do you chill it? Do you drink it just warm? Do you have to strain it?
We do strain it. There's little bits of things that get in there that we want to strain out. But then we drink it fresh. The boys love it, as the little ones love it, in their bottles, fresh from the goats, so nice and warm. But the rest of us, we chill it. So.
And is it pasteurized or not? It's natural. It's raw.
It is. It's fresh, raw from the goat. We don't pasteurize it. And then we freeze it in order for the soap making process to work properly. But it's pretty incredible. It's a real art to make soap from milk. You have to really, you know, be concerned about your temperatures and the curing and all that. So it's a real fun process that my husband figured out. I've actually never made a bar of soap, but my husband made it. He did a great job.
Your marketing is unbelievable. What else can you do?
Oh, well, I don't know. In some ways, we feel like the sky's the limit with this product. It's not something that is just exclusive for people that suffer from eczema like Chance did. I mean, everybody is looking for a natural soap, natural skincare products. And once you realize that your skin is your body's largest organ, everything you put on it goes directly into your bloodstream. It's kind of like anything you put in your mouth is going to go into your body, but anything you put on your skin is going to go in as well. So you really need to feed your skin. And these products are all natural. There's no toxins in them, no chemicals. We don't even use dyes or colorants or alcohols or synthetic anything, no GMO ingredients. So it's really going to feed your skin. And so the sky's the limit with what you can do with it. As soon as you start thinking, what am I putting on my body? Then you start thinking, oh my word, my shampoo, my deodorant, my lotion. You just kind of go from one thing to another. Yeah. So we have lots of ideas, and we hope to become a household name here for people all across the country and hopefully the world someday.
I'm thinking some goat's milk caramels right now.
Oh.
Have you ever made caramel?
We haven't tried that, but that sounds yummy.
It's not that hard to make, and I got that on my mind right now, Miss Kimberly.
After you put that orange, what is it, the orange burst?
The orange burst. I'm not sharing this with you.
I know
it's
you're
over
not.
Here on my side. Well, Mary, we appreciate you coming on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having us, and we just hope you enjoy all your products, and we'll see you again at bensoap.com someday.
Ah, that's fantastic. Kimberly, pass the soap, maybe a little of that lotion also. Thanks again. This is Jasper Morabili.
And Kimberly Stern.
Celebrating 10 years right here on KCMO.
Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
And Dominic starts to dance. They talk Italian to a man he even understands. Kumbaras and kumbaras do they dance out of them. When Santa Nicola comes to town and brings Ojocharil, hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the donkey, jingity jing, the Italian Christmas donkey, la la la, la 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 la, la la la.
Oh,